problem is when you change your mask, as I'm sure, all of a sudden your glasses fog up. Have you noticed that? If it's an old mask, you don't have that problem. But here I'm trying to bless the Lord by wearing a new mask, and now I can't see anything. It's crazy. It's crazy. So thank you for your patience. Thank you, Cherie. That was a beautiful invocation. Absolutely love that. Lorraine, Howard, Rick, what can I say? Our worship services are blessed. Glenn hit it spot on last week. Really, if we came in, heard you guys do your music and had communion, our lives would just be so blessed. Thank you very, very much for sharing your gifts with us in that way. So thankful we're able to worship, are you not, for this Palm Sunday? This is so good. And to have some of you here, I mean, Andy Rose has been forever. I mean, it's just such a great blessing. And even though we're trying to modify the service and keep it close to 30 minutes, and we didn't have the parade, and we didn't have the procession, and we didn't have the palm branches, but hey, we had palm crosses, and I hope you all got yours, all right? So that was something. The original title for the sermon was going to be Welcome to Holy Week. And what I was going to do is I was going to talk about how when you go to a theme park or the fair and you get on a ride and they say, strap yourselves in, you know, it's going to be one scary, you know, dizzy ride or something like that. And I was going to draw a parallel to how that works with Holy Week. I mean, you talk about some twists and turns and ups and downs. If you know the Bible, you know how this week is going to go. All right, it goes from the parade of Palm Sunday to the crucifixion on Good Friday. I mean, it is all kind. It goes from light to darkness to even worse darkness to even worser darkness and then even badder darkness. And then it goes back to light. And if you want to hear about that, you got to come back next Sunday. All right, there you go with that. It's also kind of interesting that this week-long celebration of Passover and unleavened bread that the Jews observed started last night. Remember, their day starts at sunset, not at sunrise. So they started, all right? And we're a part of that in Holy Week as we remember Palm Sunday, and we are reminded how the Christian faith and the Jewish faith look to God as we celebrate and remember that no amount of oppression or fear can dash the hopes of those who trust in God. As we remember and celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, we are reminded of hope, but we are also reminded of how oftentimes we misunderstand hope. And that happens sometimes when we worship Jesus for what we want him to be rather than because of what he's already done for us and continues to do for us. That's what happened on that first Palm Sunday. The crowd totally misunderstood. The way John tells the story, and he tells it differently than the other Gospels, the way he tells the story, the crowd is already there. They've been there. They've been in Jerusalem. The crowd is already ramped up. They are excited so that when Jesus comes in on the eastern side of the city, they are flocking to him. They are shouting. They are singing celebrations of praise. They are grabbing palm branches. And if you didn't read the Bible study, then you're in trouble. If you didn't hear the Bible study. So they're grabbing palm branches, remembering past military victories, and they're looking for Jesus to come in and clean house and set things right, which is why as soon as they grab the palm branches, Jesus grabs a donkey. He wants to let them know, no, I'm not going to be that kind of king. I know what you guys want. I know what you're expecting. That's not what I'm here for. He makes it clear right from the beginning. He's not coming in as a military or national hero. Even if that's what the people want, Jesus isn't coming to meet their expectations. He's coming to fulfill the promise of God. Jesus is faithful, but he will be nobody's flag. It doesn't matter what your cause is. That's not what Jesus is here to promote. He's not here to support our cause or our idea of justice or righteousness. He's here to reveal the love of God that is shown in humility and service and sacrifice. Because you see, he's coming in on the east. On the western side of the city, there's another parade. Do you remember that? Do you know about that? That's Pilate. Pilate's coming in on a war horse. Pilate's coming in with his troops, at least two squadrons of Roman soldiers. Pilate's coming in with weapons at the ready. Pilate is coming in with the power of Rome to remind the people who's really in charge, who's in control of this city. He's there to let them know, to keep them in their place. It's no coincidence that during Passover, crucifixions went up as a way of holding the people down. Remember, what is the Passover? The Passover is when the Jews remembered and celebrated how God freed them from slavery, from oppression underneath Egypt. You know that story. You went through all that. You remember the 10 plagues. You remember the wilderness wanderings. You remember the separation of the Red Sea. And during this week, the people would remember that story. And they would tell that story. And they knew that they were oppressed. They knew that Rome had power. They knew that they were basically slaves to that government. And they would begin to be stirred. Maybe God will do it again. Maybe God will set us free from this oppression, from this injustice, from this fear, from this brutal power, from the brutality that these people are putting down upon us. Maybe that will happen. And the crowd would begin stirring and whispering. So every year Rome would come in. That woke you up. We're in charge. We have the power. We're in control. But on the eastern side, Jesus is coming in, not on a war horse, not with an army, on a donkey. Jesus is there to show people that God's plan of deliverance is never going to come by violence, but by humility and love. Jesus didn't just happen to be in Jerusalem at Passover. He wasn't there on vacation. He wasn't there to do sightseeing. He wasn't there to just hang out. He was there to show us that there is another way. That while oppression and violence and injustice does exist, it is not overcome by more violence. Hatred is not the way. Hatred is never, ever, ever the way of God. Brute force and brutality are not the way. Jesus came to show us that the power of God is in unselfish, sacrificial love. Now we can look at the world and see despair, but if we will turn our eyes to Jesus, we will see hope. We have to trust him. That's what it means to have faith. Do you know how many people lose faith, quit the church because of failed expectations? They didn't get their prayer answered. They lost the job. They lost the marriage. They lost the loved one. They experienced personal, professional, financial, or health disasters. And they felt that if God really loved them, they would have been spared. Sometimes people come to church as if they're doing God a favor, instead of worshiping a God who does not deliver on our wants or our needs, but instead delivers us redemption. The people had the words right when they were shouting their praises, but they shouted them for the wrong reason. Jesus doesn't come to meet our expectations. He comes to change them. He shows us that God's vision for us and for the world is larger than how we happen to feel about a particular issue or need at that time. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we are tempted to make it sound as if Rome and others took Jesus' life against his will, rather than remembering what is said in the Gospel of John in chapter 10. Jesus says, "I came to lay down my life willingly for my sheep." It wasn't against God's will. It was part of God's will. Do you remember The Princess Bride, the movie, The Princess Bride? When the grandfather's reading the story to the grandson, and at first the grandson's resisting, but now he's caught up in the story, and they get into the part about Prince Humperdinck, and remember, and Princess Buttercup is getting set to marry him, and the boy, remember, he interrupts his grandson, no, that's not right, Grandpa, that's not right. She's not going to marry him. She's got to marry Wesley. I just know it. You're reading it wrong. You've got the story wrong. And the grandpa says, no, that's not the way the story's going to go. And the boy's all caught up. He says, well, who kills Humperdinck? Who kills Humperdinck? He's evil. He's terrible. Who kills Humperdinck? Is it Inigo? Who kills him? Remember, he's all tore up. He's really, really controlled that it's not fair and this isn't right. And the grandfather has to tell him, nobody kills Humperdinck. Remember that? He tells him, he says, nobody kills him. He lives. Remember the grandson? Jesus, Grandpa! Why are you reading me this story for? He didn't like the way the story was going. Do you ever look at the story of your life? You don't like the way it's going? And you're thinking, come on, God, a little bit of love, a little bit of justice, a little bit of fairness. Show me something besides this pain and this sorrow and this darkness. And we have to trust in God that where we are in the story at that moment is not the full story at all. Palm Sunday is a reminder to us to make sure that we're following Jesus for who he is. Not because of what we think he can do for us. You've heard this said before. If our greatest problem was the government, God would have sent a politician. If our greatest problem was money, God would have sent an economist. If our biggest problem was a need for happiness, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest problem is sin. So God sent a Savior. The danger is we can say the right words for the wrong reason. Saying we believe that Jesus is the Christ, what Chet said over a year ago. Chet said, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior. It's not about getting us first, or what we think we need, or what we feel we deserve. If that's what you think, then just like the crowd, you're going to be extremely disappointed, and you're going to fall away. The ones who stay are the ones who dare to trust that even in darkness and pain, the love of God will prevail. They are the ones who say the right words for the right reason. There may not have been any on that first Palm Sunday who were saying the right words for the right reason. But I give thanks that there are some people here this Palm Sunday who do. You. And you. And you. You not only say the right words for the right reason, you live them out every day. You keep your eyes on Jesus because you know that Jesus doesn't only lead us to hope. He leads us to salvation. And that's what you do. You lead others on a path of hope that leads them then to God, love and grace, leads them to salvation. For that, we praise God and give thanks. Amen.